Well, it's been 2 weeks since we've been in 2 Peter. We had, I cannot say that VBS was a week off. It was absolutely not a week off. It was an intense week, and it was an exhausting week, but it was a wonderful, wonderful week. And I appreciate so much the number of faces that are here tonight that I saw involved in some way or another with VBS, because I just want you to know that that really is one of the most important outreaches that we have. And we had 3 salvations, and I've not had a chance to get together with families yet on that, but it's a praise. And you know, if we hadn't had but one, and if we hadn't had any, it still would have been a praise. And another praise that I want to share with you just briefly is that Ramona and I taught 5th and 6th grade, which is the 5th and 6th grade are words that strike terror into many hearts, you know, it just is. And I got to tell you, they were incredible. They were, and the whole, all of it from K through, from every single bit of it was incredible. And I know that that's a result of prayer. I know that because I know that you all were praying for VBS, even if you weren't here, and we prayed for a long time prior to that. And then last week was Fifth Sunday Sing at Cat Creek. And if you didn't go, it's probably a good thing there wouldn't have been room for you. I've never seen that church packed, but it was packed. And while we were on the way over there or on the way home or something, we were talking, Ramona and I were talking about it. And we went to a Fifth Sunday Sing at Melbourne about 3 years ago where we got to hear Matt and Connie sing. First time for me to hear the two of them sing, and in some ways that Fifth Sunday Sing kind of led to y'all being here, I think, and I praise God for that. So, you know, all the opportunities that we have to go to VBS or go to Fifth Sunday Sings or go to different things that the church does provide, you're missing out if you don't go. I'm just telling you that, okay? Anyway, all of that just to kind of, that's not even in the introduction yet, so. anybody in here, would you admit to being forgetful? Okay, I see most hands up. Wives whose husbands did not raise their hand. Yeah. Amen. And if you know me well enough, you know that I can remember intimate details about totally unimportant things, but I can't remember why I went into the kitchen. And that's not an exaggeration. I can go in there and I can be in the office working along on this message, and I decide that I want to do a search for something. And so I go to the internet and have left open, say, social media or maybe a news site, and I get distracted by something that's on there, and then I think, what was I going to search for? Well, I totally forget sometimes exactly what it is that I was trying to do. And I'm pretty good with dates and birthdays, anniversaries, things like that, but I can't tell you how many different times somebody will ask me to do something, like Debbie might say, could you come speak to the ladies group on July 15th, for example? And I'll say, sure. And then I'll mention it to Ramona, and she'll say, this isn't the case this time. I don't think.
I didn't know it.
Okay. But, and she'll say, well, you're supposed to do this or that day. And I've forgotten, you know. So I think that we're all a little bit like that, and I think a lot of it is because of distractions. Well, the reason I tell you all that is because Peter is writing this message to believers in Asia Minor who needed instruction and who needed encouragement because they forgot why they were believers. Or you and I sometimes forget that it's not just about showing up here and putting your time in. Like we talked about this morning, it's about letting the light shine through us. So sometimes we forget our purpose, we forget our mission, and we need to be reminded. And that's what Peter's preparing to do here not just in this part, but in so much of the rest of 2 Peter. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15 for tonight. I'm going to ask if you would and are able, please, to stand as we read from his word. And Peter says this, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this word in particular, which talks about being forgetful, about needing to be reminded. And Lord, we need to be reminded every day, sometimes many times a day, of what our purpose here is in Christ. And I just pray, Lord, for this church and for each individual, that you would keep us focused on what our purpose is. Help us, Lord, to be reminded, and help us, Lord, to leave a legacy of truth and of just worshiping the Spirit and the Lord and Jesus Christ the Son in all that we do. And I pray that that's how we would be remembered, as Peter was going to be remembered by these folks. I thank you for the time you've given us together, and I just pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, he tells them, I think he uses the word remind here three different times in just these four verses. So in case you've forgotten during the last 2 weeks, the passage last time told us to multiply grace and peace in our lives, and to do that by exercising faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And go back and read that, those first 11 verses, if you don't know that stuff, because he just tells us if we want to multiply our grace and peace, we've got to work at it by doing these things. Peter then admonished his readers to be sure of our call and to never stumble, so that Jesus would supply us an entrance into his everlasting kingdom, and that's kind of what this is all about. Verse 12 again says this, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Well, for this reason, he says, and that's all the things that were covered in the last message, the reason of multiplying grace and peace, the reason of entering the everlasting kingdom of heaven, Peter felt the need to remind the people of the truth. And I say it again, we need to be reminded. That's why we're here, honestly. Anyone who attends church, any church, I hope and pray at least, regularly, knows this. The pastor, whether it be this one or any other one that you may hear preaching, is going to repeat the message of salvation, the message of the gospel, in some way, every Sunday. And I really pray that that happens every Sunday here. Do you really need to be reminded of the plan of salvation? I mean, we know, if we're saved, we know that we have to admit that we're sinners, and we have to believe that Jesus died for those sins, and we have to confess that only through him can we possibly have salvation. Do you need to be reminded of that every Sunday? I think we do. I really do. Because I think if we don't hear it regularly, we forget the importance of it. And we forget the fact that there's somebody sitting here somewhere that doesn't know that, and is hearing it for the first time, or maybe understanding it for the first time. So we need to hear it. We should never, ever lose the idea of the miraculous nature of salvation. In most cases, there's a pretty good likelihood, like I said, there's somebody there that's never heard it or never responded to it. Now, it's a little different on Sunday evening for me, because you folks, you're the rock-solid folks in the church. I know that you know, for the most part, but even then there might be somebody here who just happened to stop by some night that doesn't know the truth of Jesus Christ. So anyway, the point is that there's just so many things that we have to hear over and over again. And one of the things that I've noticed over all the years that I've attended church and been pastor in a church is Easter and Christmas, you know, those two things, when they come up every year, a lot of times the worship service is very similar to what it was last year and the year before and so on and so forth. But you've heard me say this 1,000 times probably. Every time I study those same passages, I see something I didn't see before. And so it's important to remind yourself of what this is all about. Now, there are some passages, too, in the evening especially, where we're going through different books of the Bible. There's some passages that just don't naturally lead up to the plan of salvation. In Judges, for example, if you remember going through that a while back, there were a lot of nights that I wondered, why was this even written down? You know? And how am I going to present this? But every scripture points to Jesus. You may have to hunt for it, but that's part of the, I guess, joy in reading scripture, is looking for how does this apply. I'm doing my annual sojourn through 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and I know you've heard me complain about that before. Those are the two chapters that I have the most difficulty reading through every year, because it's big, long lists of names of the tribe of Gad and the tribe of this and all these different things. And I just, it's just hard. But I do it every year. And every year when I'm reading through it, I think about this. If they were writing about the tribe of Emmanuel, your names would be listed there. And they would be important. They were important then. They're still important today. Jesus knows those names. He knows your names. And I really try to look at it in that way. It's still tough, I got to tell you. But anyway, Peter takes a little different path in these last three verses. He's bidding farewell. And in Scripture, if you've read through your Bibles or know much of the stories of the Bible, there's a lot of what we call swan songs in Scripture, farewell addresses. Most of them, like Peter's here, are admonitions to continue in the ways of the Lord, to not forget what you've been taught. Moses, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 29, he knows he's going to die. God's told him, you know, you're not going into the promised land, so go up to the top of the mountain and look over, and there you shall die. And so he said this, "For I know that after my death," this is Moses, "you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you." My goodness, what a depressing thought. I'm going to die and you're all going to turn away. David had last words in 2 Samuel. Paul spoke of being poured out as a drink offering in both Philippians and in 2 Timothy. And we know that Jesus spoke about his coming death many, many times. So in verses 13 and 14, Peter says this, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off this tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." Well, first of all, Peter knew that his days were numbered. Are your days numbered? Of course they are. Psalm 90, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And what that says to me is, even if we don't know what the number is, teach us to know that they're numbered so that we can gain wisdom. Psalm 139, 16. "Your eyes," speaking to God, "your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." And we see this a lot of times on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, because every conception of every human being since the beginning of time has not been a surprise to God. He knew the number of days even before they were conceived. So God, yes, our days are numbered. We all know that we've only got a certain number of days. So far, I have lived not quite 24,000 days. I have the exact number here, but I don't want to bore you with that, okay? I can figure up how many days I've already lived, but I have no idea how many days I've got left. Peter has a pretty good idea right here as he writes this verse that the number of his days is quickly coming to a close. So he wanted to be sure to get this message out before it was too late. Whether you and I have one day or 20,000 days left, we have a message to get out, and we've got limited time to do it. For me and you, our end will come, and we all hope, don't you all hope, that you just go to sleep one night and you don't wake up? You know, not yet, but that's our hope, that it will come painlessly and quietly. Peter knew that his death would be neither painless nor quiet. In John 21:18, Jesus said this to Peter, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked wherever you wished. But when you are old," which he's old now, "you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." So Peter knew that his death would be similar to Jesus' death. And this came immediately after Jesus had asked Peter the three "Do you love me?" questions, the three times that he told him to feed his sheep and so on. And it's kind of cryptic when you read it in John 21. But remember that when Jesus said those words, your arms will be stretched out and you will be girded and led where you don't wish to go, Jesus had just been crucified himself and had risen again and was living and walking among them at that moment. So for Peter to be told that he will stretch out his hand where he doesn't wish and go where he doesn't wish is a pretty clear indication that his death would also be by crucifixion. He says he's going to put off this. Oh, you might remember, too, that at that particular passage in John 21, Peter's biggest concern wasn't that he was going to be stretched out, but what's going to happen to that guy? John was right by the one that Jesus loved. He said, what about him? And anyway, Peter knows now, as he's grown closer and closer to the Lord, that's what's going to happen to him, and he accepts it. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. He says he's going to put off this tent, just as Jesus showed him he would. Well, both Peter and Paul use the analogy of a tent to describe their bodies. A tent, for most people, is a temporary dwelling place. It's not something that most people choose to live in, although I guess some people probably do, but it's temporary. This aging, fragile body that trips and falls over here in this corner at least once a week, if you saw that this morning, it's a temporary dwelling place. I won't be in this body forever. My days are numbered. Here's an eternal truth. Every single one of us is in a temporary dwelling place right now. Every single one of us. I heard some of us talking the other day about the fact that the obituaries, it seems like, are filled with people who are younger and younger. You know, more and more people who are younger than me are passing away. The average life expectancy in the United States today is right at about 79. 79 is the average life expectancy. Many of you here tonight are above average. Okay? Yeah. Isn't it nice to be above average at something? But none of us know if we've got 20,000 days or one day or not even a day left. All of us will put off this tent at some point. And before that happens, we have a limited amount of time to follow Peter's instruction in verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. What we read here tonight is the reminder that we have 2,000 years after Peter has died of these things. We have a reminder. And his concern was not that he was going to be crucified, and tradition tells us, there's no scriptural evidence of this, but tradition tells us that he chose to be crucified upside down because he didn't consider himself to be worthy to be crucified or to die in the same fashion as Jesus Christ. So he chose to be crucified upside down. I don't know if that's right or not, but the point is, that's not his concern here. He's not concerned that he's going to die a horrific death. His concern was for the people that he administered to, that they wouldn't forget, that they wouldn't do as Moses said back there in Deuteronomy, that they would become utterly corrupt and turn away from the ways in which I have commanded you. His concern was for those he was leaving behind. All of us will leave a legacy of some sort. We just will. When we're gone, people are going to say things that they remember about us. And I want you to consider that. You know, we've gone through 43 years since the founding of this nation. We celebrated the 243rd birthday, I think it was. And ever since that time, there have been people that have come and gone in leadership who have left behind a legacy. And some people who are in positions of leadership, whether it be in the presidency or in the pulpit or in the family, some people leave a legacy of terrible things that have to be cleaned up after they're gone. Some people leave a legacy that we can build on and that we can grow in. And that's the prayer of Peter here, that his legacy would be something that you could build on, something you could grow closer to the Lord in. He wanted to leave a legacy that pointed to Christ. He wanted people to remember, not Peter. There's a Casting Crown song, and I can't ever think of words whenever I get up here, but it basically says that I want it to be about Jesus, not me. I want to leave a legacy that speaks Jesus' name. He wanted people to remember his teachings about Jesus long after he was dead. You and I, sitting in this room tonight, are a part of that legacy. He wrote not just to contemporary believers, but to us. And part of the legacy he left is for us to try our utmost to leave a similar legacy for other people who will come after us. So tonight, as we come to the end of this, I want you to reflect on what you might write in your farewell. You don't have to do it, but I just want you to think about that. What would you want people to remember about you when you die? Things like the home run that you hit in Little League, or the business that you built, or the farm that you worked, or things of this nature? Or will they remember the things that pointed them to Jesus as a result of your life here on this earth, as a result of your 24,000 days or whatever on this earth? That's convicting to me to hear Peter say this. And we know Peter was far from perfect. You know, he messed up so many times, it's almost a joke. You know, he constantly stuck his foot in his mouth and made mistakes and ran away from Jesus and denied Jesus. But in the end, he left a legacy that we still celebrate today because it points to Jesus. Let that be true of you and me. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you so much for this day, for this life that you've allowed us to live, for this opportunity that you give us each and every day to build on the legacy, to build on the truth of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that the things that we say and do in our workplaces, in our homes, in our schools, wherever it happens to be, that people could look at us and say, that points to Jesus. I see the light of Jesus shining through them. Oh Lord, I pray that would be true of me. I pray it would be true of each person sitting here tonight, Lord, that long after our decease, people will be able to say, I know they pointed me to Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that we could do that, and I thank you for the opportunity. I pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.